When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the weekly internet chat show. We talk about all things fantasy, sci-fi, robots, space lasers, swords, dragons, such things as this. I am Dan Selke, the editor of winnerscoming.net. And our usual co-host today, Daniel Roman, is sick. But we had on hand our adjunct co-host, Camilla, who is also sick. But we were able to rope in the kind and generous Alex Zalben, the lead editor of Lifestyle at Fansided and champion of the downtrodden. Alex, thanks for coming on Take the Black today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me on. And now I'm pretty sure I'm going to get sick shortly. Is that how this works?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that's how the cold works. It jumps through the phone lines, through the internet. Don't open your computer, don't use your phone. Just don't avoid anything.
It's a computer virus. That's what it's called. So there you go.
It is a computer virus. Alex, for serious, thanks for coming on. I was impressed because we're going to talk about some upcoming television shows today that both haven't come out yet, but us being fancy critic types have gotten to see a bit early, but you've seen more of them than I have. So I was very, it was very fortuitous that it worked out this way, because we can really talk about them in non-spoilery detail.
Yeah, I just wanted to show you up. That's the main thing. I'm kidding. I got a chance to see them, and there are two shows that we're going to be talking about that, like, one I already liked, and the second one I honestly didn't know much about, but I ended up inhaling all the episodes, so excited to talk about them.
Lovely. And by the way, thanks for showing up, everybody. Hey, Martha. Hey, Nicole. Glad to be here. If you have any questions, as always, shoot them our way. We're happy to talk to you. Okay, so the first show we're going to talk about today is a show that comes out next week, next Thursday, the 21st of March, I believe, called Three Body Problem. Now, Take the Black, we began life as a Game of Thrones podcast, and the kind of the connection here is that Three Body Problem, I don't know if you know this or not, you probably do, I don't know, we'll find out, is that it's made by David Benioff and Dan Weiss, who are the guys who made Game of Thrones. And this is kind of the first big thing they've did since Game of Thrones ended in ignominy back in 2019. It's based on these big, chalky sci-fi novels by Liu Zhijin. I've read the first one. I haven't read the second two, but I'll get to it because they are pretty cool. That were very, very popular around the world, very sciencey heavy, very technical, very like hard sci-fi. And this new show comes out next week. It's big, it's ambitious. And as someone who's watched the entire season, I'll just ask you straight up, Alex, what did you think, keeping spoilers to a minimum?
Well, first of all, saying this is the first big thing they've done is clear the chair erasure, I feel like. You know, we got to talk about that. We got to talk about that big Netflix. I'm kidding. I really like this. I was very I tend to try to approach things as positively as possible, put all preconceptions aside, but I will 100% admit, like most of the world, I was very burned by the end of Game of Thrones.
It happens.
So I approached these screeners with a little bit of harumph when I was coming to them.
Sure.
And beyond that, I think I'm always hesitant of, this is going to be the next big show. We've put so much budget into this. There's so much pressure there, particularly from Netflix, who tends to do this a lot. Say, here's the thing. This is going to be the next Game of Thrones. This is the next fantasy show. This is the next drama, et cetera, et cetera. They're just throwing money until it just is a thing, you know? So I came into this with a certain amount of hesitance. I watched the first episode, was thoroughly pleased and enjoyed watching it. I was still hesitant, though, but I found myself consuming and inhaling all 8 episodes. And ultimately, full disclosure, I haven't read the books, but I'm familiar with people's feelings of the books. So sure. I'm sure there's going to be a sense of, oh, you dumbed it down. You made it into an action movie. But in terms of being a thrilling watch, I had a good time.
I'm glad that is definitely a good endorsement, especially from someone who doesn't, because watching the show, I did have the thought, because it's kind of that thing where you read a book and then you see the movie or the TV show. And I did have moments of like, oh, they're doing that bit. Like, oh, it's that character. Like, oh, I wonder when they're going to do that thing. Oh, here it comes. But I did wonder, like, will this sort of very kind of esoteric and layered story hit for folk who don't know what's coming? Because if you're not aware, I'll summarize the plot, like, without, again, without spoiling it, because it's a week ahead and Netflix will kill us. Very generally, it's 2024, modern times. Scientists are working the world over and they start mysteriously dying. Why? What's going on? We're going to get to the bottom of it. And it may or may not involve extraterrestrials. And there's kind of the commonality it has with Game of Thrones, I think, is that it asks a fair amount of the viewer. Like, Game of Thrones was like, we have 30,000 characters and 30,000 places, and they all have really hard to remember names, but you just gotta have to go with it. And this show has scenes that take place in the past, in the 60s, with a character who is very important kind of overall plot. It has scenes that take place in the present with these there she is, Yi Wenji. I can't pronounce her name correctly, obviously. Sorry about that. In the present with kind of these fivesome of science characters. Most of them are invented for the show, by the way. And then it has these scenes in this sort of virtual reality three-body game, if you will. And they kind of just run them all together and just kind of trust you to keep up. And for me, as someone who'd read the book, it did work. I agree with you. Like, I watched the first one and I was like, woo, that's pretty good. Like, it had a feeling of dread to it. I like the kind of creeping horror mystery kind of show where it wants to send a chill down your spine. Like, things are happening, but you don't understand how or why they're happening. And the characters are as confused as you are. And that worked for me. Like, I did feel a little awed in the way that the unknown is supposed to awe you. But I also thought they did a good job having the characters be kind of relatable, which, by the way, if you don't know, like, the five scientist characters, the one played by Sam from Game of Thrones and four others, none of those are in the book. There's one main character in the book who they split into five people. I imagine because they want to give a little more, like, interpersonal, like, just have folk talk to each other and to have some more characters to chomp on. And I thought they did it pretty smoothly in a way that satisfied me. And I liked the scenes in the game, too. I thought there was some fun visual splendor in there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think to your point, and again, this comes from the place of not having read the books, but one of the things that they do very well with the show is they throw out a lot of different concepts at you. And through the first half of the season, with that, again, without getting into spoilers, it builds. They keep throwing on, oh, and here's another type of sci-fi concept. Here's another concept. Here's another mystery. And around episodes four, I started to feel like, what is this show? What am I watching? This needs to focus in on something. And as soon as you start to have that feeling, they decomplicate it, like in a very big way, and change the direction of the way things are going. And I think, though I can't specifically speak to this, that does feel like, oh, you probably did a good job with the adaptation here.
Sure.
With taking these things and simplifying them to a place where it doesn't feel, I don't know why I'm using this as a comparison, but it doesn't feel like Transformers level of dumb science. And it doesn't I kept sort of doing this mental check of, are they doing the CSI thing of, I'm going to explain this once again for the stupid people in the audience, and then somebody's going to say, English, please, and explain it a third time. They don't do that. I think it gets to the level of probably the secondary explanation. And to me, that's, okay, we are scientists who do unspecified science, but we're going to tell you the specific thing we do, the specific reason that we're here, and we're going to push forward with that. And again, I think that points to making it inclusive for audiences who might not necessarily have a physics background, but also might get frustrated if you're doing the very typical, we're going to take this piece of paper and shove a pencil through it to show you how wormholes work or whatever. So it straddles that line really nicely. And I think ultimately that's why I came away with a feeling of, this is watchable, this is thrilling, this feels like a good, high quality, big action movie that I'm enjoying. And I don't, this sounds like such faint praise, but I don't feel stupid watching this.
No, that's completely a problem that sci-fi has. Like the books, again, are very, very popular. So it's not like this held people back. But I've known folk who said, like, I tried to read it and I felt too dumb. Like, it, because the books will slow down to, because the guy who wrote them was, I believe, definitely a scientist of some kind before he became an author. And he will explain concepts, and he even uses math. It's horrifying to explain, notions about the space-time continuum and the wormy hole paper pencil thing. And, how incredibly thin bands of nanofibers get created. Like, he goes through it all. An example is, and we're not going to spoil things, although I always am a little weird about, like, the book's been out for like 10 years, but whatever, never mind.
The books have been out there. You can, I don't know. Dude, I feel like you can spoil the books. Obviously, you can't spoil the Netflix show, but no, at the same time,
I'm not going to go nuts. The worst thing is the Dune. People like, don't spoil Dune. It's 60 years old. What do you want us to do here?
It's spoiled on Wikipedia. That's a spoiler for life, I guess.
There's a sci-fi show called The Expanse, where the writers said that they wanted the science to be like Wikipedia stringent. As in, like, it passes muster for, if you looked at the concept on Wikipedia, it would make sense. But it's not going to get into Nobel Prize, deep white paper comprehensibility. That's what Three Body Problem kind of goes for the show, and I think it really works. But there's a famous scene toward the start of it where the universe flickers, and they do. I did note, like, oh, that's a lot simpler on the show than what it was in the book, where they kind of go to this lab and he talks about cosmic background radiation for a while. And he explained a lot about it. I didn't retain much of it, but he explained, like, exactly why this is impossible in, like, mathematical terms. And in the show, this moment is very simple. It's like something turns on and off and everyone can see it. And it was a lot simpler, but as long as you nail that kind of the feeling of what it's supposed to be and still maintain the veneer that you're being scientifically consistent, which I think it does, I think it's fine. And again, like you, I like that there are so many kind of sci-fi concepts we haven't heard about a ton. Mm-hmm. That was a good example of like the pen through the paper to simulate a wormhole, because you're right, I think it's been done a lot. But I hadn't heard of some of these things. And it's kind of putting some new sci-fi nonsense or realism into the vernacular, which I think is a good contribution.
I mean, I think there's probably a version of this show in some alternate reality where I was trying to think of a good showrunner. This is probably not the right guy, but like a Damon Lindelof does it, where it has that density to it that really challenges you intellectually at every turn to think harder and really concentrate on the screen. This is not that. And I think there's a place for that as well, to have something that is just a rollicking sci-fi adventure with some light science elements in it. That's fun. And it's fun TV to watch. And ultimately, I think that's probably the place that Netflix is aiming towards. You know, there's been a lot of hay put into the idea that Netflix wants to create shows that you're watching while you're doing other things, which I think is kind of horrible, but also that's sort of the way our world is. So if they can create a show like this that is not necessarily like you are paying attention to it, and at least in the early going, a lot of the episodes are subtitled, so you have to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. You can't turn away. You're actually actively, unless you speak fluent Chinese, going to have to take a look at the screen while you're doing it and watch what's going on. But at the same time, this is that halfway point between completely turn off your brain, look up every once in a while and be like, oh, that's what's going on. Oh, that white guy with a gun is chasing some. Oh, did he find her? Okay, great. And something that is actively like people talking about physics and physics concepts and everything that you were bringing up there. This is halfway between that point, and I think that's okay, because it's the sort of thing that I think is fun. It's enjoyable. I will mention it. I'm curious to get your take on it. This is a perennial argument that comes up with Netflix shows. This was yet another one that I felt like they should release this one episode a week.
And yes.
Drives me. I mean, I know they're not going to do it, but like drives me insane, because it is built for that. It is built episodically. There are cliffhangers, big things happen. This is exactly the sort of thing like from the Game of Thrones guys who know how to build this sort of show that gets you buzzing and talking from episode to episode. Gets the people who know the books to be writing like, okay, here's what's really going on for the books, doing all the explainers, the deep dives. And so it's frustrating for me that this is going to come out, people are going to watch 8 hours of it, talk about it over the weekend, and then be done with it. For when are they going to come out with a second season? If they have a second season, 2 years, 3 years? It's going to take a while.
At the least. Yeah, you said that. I've been complaining about that for literally years. And Nicole says that she's glad to hear it's understandable and has decent characters. I'll ask about the characters in a second. But yeah, yes, 100%. It's ridiculous. They backed themselves into a corner, haven't they, with Netflix? Because they were the first ones to do this, to like, we're going to the binge model and we're dropping all of House of Cards or Orange is the New Black all at once. That's the way TV is going to be. And then for a couple of years, it seemed like that might actually be the way TV is going to be. And then other people who got into this space remembered like, oh, there's a real advantage to doing things one at a time, especially like you said, with this kind of show, which is, you're so right. It's built for weekly viewing in a way that makes me worried that it won't find an audience because A, I haven't seen a ton of marketing for it. And B, it would work a lot better if people were able to talk about the things they liked and the theories they had in between. I agree. But Netflix of all places cannot do that, because it started this. Now it's strapped itself to this horse that's running toward the cliff. And I don't think it can really get off.
Well, but the weirder part about it, though, is they've already been kind of doing this with the reality shows where they drop a couple of episodes per week. It's that midway point between dropping everything and dropping it once a week. They do 2-3 episodes, something like that. And those are probably their most consistently buzzed about shows at this point. You know, you got like your Love is Blind and The Circle and all of these other things that like keep the conversation going for at least a solid month with these sort of things. They also do it with some foreign shows as well. And I think those have been pretty successful. You always see those pop up. People are talking about them week after week when they watch them. So I don't know why they couldn't try it with something like this. You know, I don't think it's giving up the Netflix model. They've certainly made enough concessions at this point with other things like advertising that if they want to put out Three Body Problem 2 episodes a week, it's going to be better for them. Their whole goal is to reduce churn, to keep people on their service. So
you would think,
why not go for that? I don't know.
I wonder if they're trying to like inch towards it. Like you said, there are things that have two, like Stranger Things come out in like one half season later. Maybe they're trying to get folk used to it without a backlash, because yes, this show is made for weekly viewing, and it's a shame that the people won't be able to have that kind of interstitial between week theory fest online. But it's still a pretty good show, and I hope it finds an audience when it drops next week.
I think it will. I think people do know that this is a big show. I have seen some advertising online, though. That's, you know, is what it is. And here in New York City, at least in the subway, they're advertising it sometimes. So I see that popping up on various ad things. So they're definitely pushing it. Nice. And it's accessible. You know, it's the sort of thing that maybe it will not have the hit the ground running of other Netflix shows, but it's something that might build over the weekend or over the week. We'll see.
Yeah. God bless. Good job, Benioff and Weiss. I'm also curious to see what folk will say about them. If there'll be like a redemption arc of some kind, but we'll check back in on that in a couple of weeks. Another show that is coming back with new episodes tomorrow is Invincible on Amazon Prime Video. And I apologize, this is too dorky for the audience, but I like this show a lot, and I like talking about it. This superhero show based on Robert Kirkman's comic of the same name. Just what I like about this show, what I always have liked about this show, is that in most ways, it's extremely straightforward in terms of the storytelling. There's no real twist. It's about a superhero. His name is Mark. He's the guy in the blue and the yellow and the black there. He's like a teenager. He gets superpowers. Now he's got to go off and help people and fight villains. And even though there's no big twist, somehow it really comes together very well, because they just pile stories on top of stories and characters on top of characters until before you know it, you're kind of sunk into this pretty dense mythology with people you like. And then, of course, the ultra violence helps. Like he'll kind of go to college for an episode and be worried about his grades. And by the end of the episode, he's like punching the face out of the back of somebody's head into the ocean. And the contrast really gets me. And again, it's impressive that it gets me in an age where you'd think I'd be done with superheroes, because there have been so many the past few years. But this show still has been able to grab me. And the new episodes that start tomorrow, I think, are better than the last batch, because they kind of pay off with that setup. And I'm not quite finished, but that's the top of my list to watch more. Alex, what do you think of the television show Invincible?
I love Invincible. And just to relate it to your Game of Thrones audience, I think it has honestly a lot of the same elements, particularly now that it's been translated from a comic book to a hour-long adult animated show. Because like you were saying earlier, you've got this huge cast of characters. You have Invincible right in the middle, but you have all of these other superheroes. You have a alien threat that's always lurking in the background called the Viltrumites that are intrinsically tied to Mark and his history and his powers. So it gives a real sense of emotion there. And it switches between, like you're saying, these extremely violent action sequences and some emotional moments and things where just people are being funny. It jumps between tones. A lot of this comes from Robert Kirkman, who's one of the co-creators of the show and co-showrunners, also created Walking Dead. And I know that franchise has taken a lot of flack over the years, and I totally get that, and I'm not going to excuse any of that, even though I am a fan. But I think that's what he does with his comic books, is he throws a lot of stuff out there and then kind of figures out how to bring it all together. And like you're saying, that's really what we see in these next four episodes that are going to be broadcast to the credit of Prime Video, what a week over 4 weeks. You get to see a lot of the stuff come together. You get to see a lot of the plot points bear out. There's a ton of new things that get thrown in here. And it, even without spoiling too much, you do get to see the return of a character named Angstrom Levy, who is played by recent Oscar nominee Sterling K. Brown, who travels between the multiverse, hates our main character, and things get absolutely harrowing by the end of the season involving that. Anybody who's read the comics knows what's coming, but it's pretty bleak. Like, it gets extremely dark and extremely upsetting before we wrap up here at the end of the season. And that's to the credit of the show. I think it's also the credit of Prime Video, who frankly has struggled a lot to find an identity as a streamer, but they've started to find these pockets to lead into with YA stuff, with The Summer I Turned Pretty and other shows like that. And then you've also got these dark adult superhero shows that somehow, I think, frankly, thanks to really good, smart showrunners, managed to avoid edgelord, you know, like The Boys. I was very worried about when it comes on, because I enjoyed the comic book, but there's such an easy way to make that into the absolute wrong version of The Boys. And instead, you got Eric Kripke at the helm, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg behind there, that steered it the right way, as well as the cast and the rest of the writers. And Invincible, same thing. Once again, you got Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. Seth Rogen does a voice on the show of Alan the Alien, which is very fun.
He's great.
And they just steered it the right way. Like, there is the wrong version of Invincible that could have come out, where it's just all exploding guts and being cool and doing cool superhero stuff. And instead, they make it fun. They make it funny. They make it emotional. It's, if you're on the fence about animation at all, which I understand some people are, even though I don't get it, I like animation, I like live action, this is essentially a live action drama with a phenomenal cast of Oscar nominees and winners that is on your TV that you could watch right now. It's great.
Yeah, I completely agree with you that there is like a kind of over the top emo grimdark version of these shows where it's just the violence. But part of the reason the violence in Invincible hits so hard is because they seem to care about the emotions and the characters as much as they do the action scenes. You're right. It could go wrong in so many ways. And the cast is nuts. That's such a, it's wild to me that he got so many celebrities like Sandra Oh, Jason Mantzoukas. I don't remember his name so well.
Jason Mantzoukas. Yeah.
Thank you. Jason Mantzoukas.
Stephen J.K. Lynn. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
Omni-Man. Amazing. He's great.
So good. Like, they really take the time to build up everything from the casting to the action scenes to like the people just sitting in a room talking scenes. And they do it all with like traditional animation, but that's kind of either here nor there, but it's a fun little detail. Yeah, this show's great. I agree with you too that I didn't expect Amazon to become the repository of the subversive, adult, violent, well-balanced, well-made superhero show. But I think it's a good match. Go with it.
It seems to be working for them. I mean, Gen V, The Boys spinoff, was also very good. And to give a plug about something that's coming way down the road, but I talk to comic book creators a lot. And first of all, anybody that they've worked with, I've only heard good things. They're very supportive. Mm-hmm. They want to include them like they did. And I think they were emboldened by the success of the first season of Invincible, working with Robert Kirkman on that, to say, hey, we can take these comics and pretty faithfully translate them on the screen. And, oh, wait, people like that? Great. So there's another show that's coming. I think it's not coming out until next year. It's not a superhero show, but it's based on a comic called Witches with a Y by a writer named Scott Snyder and an artist named Jock. Terrifying horror story about these witches who live in trees and snatch children. Apparently, they're very faithfully adapting that as well. There's going to be at least two seasons of that coming out next year. And I think that's just going to be the first cusp of, like, we've had Invincible, we've had The Boys, and now they're going to expand. I've heard about a couple of other comic-based projects that I don't know if they're announced yet, so I don't want to talk about them, but that are going to come out. And I think they're really leading into that, and laudably so. I hope it continues to be successful, because so far I love seeing all this stuff on screen.
Totally. The other things they're trying to do is be the new fantasy hub for like the Rings of Power and the Wheel of Time. Not working out quite as well, but God bless them for trying. We got some good comments here. Going back to the three body discussion, and also Fantasy Fan hasn't watched the first season of Invincible. Fantasy Fan is only into Star Wars, Star Trek, and superhero shows, but I'm telling if it, she likes Harley Quinn, I'm telling you, Fantasy Fan, I would recommend this one. As I recall, the first episode, watch the first episode. It ends in a way that might hook you, and if you're not hooked, move on. And talking about Nicole, talking about a three-body problem, Future Boy has full faith in Benioff and Weiss as long as they have source material. The three-body novel trilogy is finished, so hopefully that works. They're not renewed all the way yet, but if the show's a success, and only you can make it one, it will be. And as Nicole says, Three Bodies seems like it would have been a perfect show for Max with their weekly format, but maybe they probably didn't want to support Benioff and Weiss, which I'm not sure about that. What I read recently was that Benioff and Weiss wanted to leave HBO because they were getting wind of all the new corporate changes with AT&T and Warner Bros. Discovery and Discovery, and weren't 100% sure if it would be consistent. But, you know, some weird things have been happening there recently, so it's not a completely absurd thought.
Well, two things not to break in, but to throw out there, just in terms of the Benioff and Weiss of it all, if I remember correctly, timeline-wise, that's when Netflix was just backing up the money truck to get all the showrunners, get Shonda Rhimes, to get Ryan Murphy and a bunch of other people, just giving them hundreds of millions of dollars. And they were part of that. So I think, like, if Netflix says, hey, we're going to give you a couple of $100 million to do whatever you want, you take that, you know, instead of Max, at least to try it out, you know. And the other thing that I'll mention in terms of anybody worried about Benioff and Weiss, there's a third showrunner on the show, Alexander Wu. So I think there's a buffer zone there in a certain way. I don't know too much about Alexander Wu's work, but I do think having that third person in the mix, this is not just coming out of their brains. If you were burned by Game of Thrones, there's somebody else there, and that provides probably a nice checks and balances. You got your three branches of the government of the three-body problem, I guess.
He's not bad. I watched... and I'm not going to try and waste time. It was an AMC show. It was a horror show. It wasn't bad. Hell, what was it
Terror?
Called?
Terror? Was he there, on the Terror?
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it that they got Alexander Wu. He also worked on True Blood, very likely, because there are a lot of Asian themes in Three Body Problem. It takes place in China, and it might have seemed a little gauche for two white dudes to make a show that is this heavily involved in
Do you
Asian
think they
history.
Were burned by Confederate at all?
Yes.
Maybe just like a scotch.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to go sidetrack into that. That could go forever. It's a good show. I'm happy for it. I hope it does well. Invincible is a great show too. I'm sure that'll do well. I just hope that we don't have to wait forever to see more Invincible episodes after these, because it's been really odd the way they dropped four in November.
I've got some
and now
info
four now.
On that if you want. I've done a couple of interviews for our sister site, BAMS Mac Pow, about Invincible. Talked to the showrunners, including Robert Kirkman, and they are hard at work on season three right now. They are already very deep into it. They know the gap was too long between season one and season two, and they had a gap between the first half of season two and the second half. So season three, they haven't announced a date. It's going to be coming much quicker. My guess, they may even release it by the end of this year, but I guess we'll see.
That'd
what
be
happens.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. So yeah, two great shows. How lucky are you to live in today? All right, moving on, Alex, anything else you're watching or anything anybody out there is watching and wants to sound off on that aren't these two programs?
Yeah, I can throw out there, I know I mentioned The Walking Dead before, but I am super into The Walking Dead. Yeah, The Ones Who Live is, I think, a legitimately great TV show, which I've watched every episode of every Walking Dead thing. I make no excuses for anybody who's like, that's bad and I hate that show. I think there's a lot of laudable things about it. They've had some awful hours of television, but it's one of those things that ended up, for whatever reason, being a comfort watch for me, which is strange to say about a zombie show. But I have been so blown away by the ones who live. I think a lot of it is down to Andrew Lincoln and Danae Gurira, who are creatively involved with Scott Gimple, who is the head of the Walking Dead universe. They put a lot of time and thought and care on this. It took years to put together, and it's really showing off. And I'll give, without getting into these spoilers, if you've been skipping it at all, it is this romance between Rick and Michonne in the zombie apocalypse as they look to find to each other. You have the first three episodes has shown them kind of coming together. The fourth episode, which is airing this Sunday on AMC and AMC Plus, was written by Danae Gurira, who, if anybody doesn't know, is a Tony nominated playwright. Like, that's kind of her side gig, I guess, is she is a phenomenal playwright as well as a lauded actress. And it is a absolute banger. Like, it is one of the all-time best episodes in the Walking Dead franchise. I won't say anything about the content of it, but I was aghast. Aghast is probably wrong. That's a negative connotation. But I loved it. It's a great episode.
Agog.
Go get caught up on Agog. That's what I was looking for. On AMC Plus, you can watch all three episodes now. Get caught up before the fourth episode because people are going to be buzzing about that, I think.
That is some excellent praise. I feel like you're right. The Walking Dead, I mean, personally, I watched for the show, the mainline show, for a long time. And then I kind of trailed off around the time I think a lot of folks started to trail off when it was just kind of stretching itself out. Mm-hmm. But I've heard a lot of good things about The Ones Who Live. And the audience agrees with you, by the way. Fantasy Fan says it's the best Walking Dead spinoff to date. Robert Harris says The Walking Dead, One Who Lives, pretty good too. Also watching Shogun. Do you think it's possible for them to have like a big comeback, The Walking Dead universe, to get approach the levels of kind of mania they were at their peak? Because from an outside perspective, I see that they were riding super, super high. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, they lost folk. I want to say it's because they got a little too greedy and stretched things out and started to draw things out in kind of an unsatisfying way and had like 13 spinoffs they didn't really need, or a few too many. And now, with the vibe I'm getting is that the things they're putting out are pretty good. But I guess the audience is not what it used to be because they lost too many folk who aren't coming back.
I mean, TV is in a different place than it was at that peak when were all completely focused on The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones every single week. And that was like, I remember me sweating every Sunday night being like, oh my God, oh, that's the biggest show on television. We got to cover it. We got to write up a billion things. And it was great. And I loved it. We're not there. TV is too bifurcated. Entertainment is too bifurcated. It's never going to get back to that level. But I do think they're doing a really smart strategy now. And to the point that you were bringing up, whether by accident or not, you had The Walking Dead ended its run after 11 seasons. Fear the Walking Dead ended its run after 8 seasons. So for the first time in a decade, I want to say, you don't have multiple Walking Dead shows going on every single week, pretty much the entire year. There's no way you're not going to wear out an audience there. Instead, they're doing these things like Dead City. I love the first two episodes of that. I do think it, you know, petered out a little bit by the end, but you've got fan favorites and Lauren Cohen and Jeffrey Dean Morgan there with a fun, very specific concept. Like, it's basically Escape from New York with zombies. Great. I'll watch 6 episodes of that. Then sending Norman Reedus as Daryl. He's basically the Wolverine of the Walking Dead universe. Sending him to Paris. Yeah. Fun. Again, 6 episodes. It's fun. You don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about it. It's not 22 episodes or anything. If you didn't like it, you can binge it very quickly. If you do like it, great. There's more to come. And then you've got, it's built, I think, to The Ones Who Live, where Andrew Lincoln and Danae Gurira have been off the screen now for years. People were hungry for that story. They wanted to see where it goes. And at least based on the first 4 episodes, I haven't seen the last 2, it's really paid off of what you want to see in a big way. It also, I always hesitate to frame this way because I think TV should be TV and movies should be movies, but it feels like they gave it the budget of a movie, and whether that's creative filming or not, it feels big. And it feels big in a way that I think The Walking Dead at its best used to capture. It felt like an event. I mean, I've seen episodes of The Walking Dead with fans in like Madison Square Garden, which was phenomenal. Like watching it with that many fans, the roof of Madison Square Garden blasting off. That's what it should feel like every week. And you can't do that after 11 seasons, you know? So
yeah.
To get back to your question, I don't think it's going to ever recapture that feeling fully, but with short run miniseries, I think they've really hit a sweet spot of, oh yeah, wait, I haven't watched in 5 years. I love Rick and Michonne. What happened to them? 6 episodes. Great. I'll check it out. And if they can keep that going, I think that's a really good spot for AMC to be in.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, what I've heard from fans is that people are really liking what I'm going to go ahead and call a return to form of kind. It seems like these shows aren't hitting. So good for AMC. As Fantasy Fan says, just don't kill Rick. That could kill the Walking Dead universe. I want to ask you if you agree with that. I don't know if you have time. So I'll just contemplate that by yourselves. Everybody out there. Future Boy watching The Last Airbender show. Enjoying it. Good for you. I thought it was fine. Agrees that it's the best Walking Dead spinoff to date. A couple of folk watching Shogun, Nicole and Robert Harris, which I'm sensing that you would like this. I don't know you very well, but I think you would like this. Just this really kind of meaty, dense historical drama, feudal Japan, warlords fighting over dominance and rulership. A lot of well-observed detail, something you can enjoy visually, narratively, acting-wise. Just a really rich, fun show. And again, miniseries, like 6 episodes in, out, good to digest. I'm watching that one. I'll watch it. I'll watch more after I'm through. After I'm through shotgunning Three Body Problem and getting out the reviews and Invincible, what people say. Fantasy Fan says Dead City is his second favorite Walking Dead spinoff. I love Negan. Okay, before we go on to the final thing, I'll actually ask you that. Do you think they could kill off Rick and keep the momentum going?
I think people would be pissed off, you know, clearly. This is a little bit of a waffly answer, but like killing off Steven Yeun's Glenn was a breaking point for a lot of people. That was a point where a lot of people said, nope, I'm done with the show. That's good. And I don't even think it was necessarily everybody loves Steven Yeun and everybody loves Glenn, of course. But at the same time, I think just the brutality of it turned a lot of people off the show and they felt like they didn't want to be there anymore. So part of it would depend on if you were going to kill off Rick at the end of this miniseries, how Rick goes out, you know, because we've already kind of watched him die only to see him be saved and then whisked by helicopter into this miniseries we're watching right now. So there's a way of doing it where people will be pissed off because they love Andrew Lincoln, but it's still going. If it's bad, it is the sort of thing that any goodwill you've built off of these three miniseries could potentially be lost. But at the same time, they're going to keep trucking them with them anyway. They have a second season of Dead City that they're filming. There's a second season of Daryl Dixon that they're filming. And I believe they're developing a third as well. So this stuff is going to continue to go for a while, whether Rick survives or not.
Do you think he will die? Just gut reaction?
I don't. I do not. Because, and this is not a spoiler, but the way things are going, I think they are going to end this. Can I throw out some like random speculation? Is that okay?
Yeah, like don't take forever, but yes, feel free to throw out some random speculation.
Here's my random speculation. I think the season is going to end with Rick and Michonne escaping together, probably worse for the wear, and then we are going to be setting up something else, a bigger like... I've thought for years they're heading towards a World War Walking Dead type conflict with all of these different factions that they're setting up in different places. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what I'm hoping for. Maybe that's what will happen. We'll see in 3 weeks at this point.
That'll be impressive. Like, so by the end of The Walking Dead, it'll be like Gunsmoke, just like on the air for like 40 years and only bigger and weirder and more elaborate, more special effects, way more zombies. Maybe I'll tune back in if they do World War Walking Dead, WWWD. All right, let's go into our final segment, which is the WIC News Lightning Round, where we give our 20-second opinions on bits of news we didn't have time to get to in the main body of the show. Okay, this is your first time doing this. That's the way it works, pretty simple. I tried to arrange these somewhat so it would be palatable. So if you don't know what you're talking about, it's only 20 seconds. Just fake it for 20 seconds. All right. I'm going to ask you a prompt first. So okay. 20 seconds on the clock. We'll see what happens. Alex, noted actor Nick Offerman will play President Chester A. Arthur in a Netflix series called Death by Lightning, a new show from Game of Thrones showrunners David Benioff and Dan Weiss. Your reaction?
Do we think that Nick Offerman auditioned for the role, or was he already dressed as Chester A. Arthur and just showed up on set and started doing his thing? Because I think it's probably the latter. I think he's in cosplay all the time.
He doesn't look a good fit. He seems like he came out of the 19th century already. So he can just like walk into any set and be ready. You're probably right.
Ooh. Oh, I didn't realize there was a buzzer, an actual
buzzer.
Oh,
yeah. We got production values here. Oof. We got a noise.
All right. This may be my heart's beating.
Ask me something.
Oh, I'm supposed to ask you something now?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wait. Hold on. Okay. I got it.
Oh, sorry. We need to patch up this.
No. All right. So the Oscars were last week. I don't know. I've lost track
Sunday,
of time. Oscars were on Sunday. They happened. The awards were given out in 20 seconds. Why don't you give your take on the Oscars?
Sure. They were nice. The Oscars have been kind of losing relevance for a lot of people for many years. This felt like a more fun ceremony, I think, probably because a movie that people actually saw won all the awards. It's pretty rare for a movie like Oppenheimer, which won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Everything, to actually have been like a $1 billion grosser. That really did help, like, have the energy up. Also, John Cena was naked. That was entertaining. There was a dog. That was entertaining. And Nivito was a penguin. That was entertaining. Yeah, fun. I enjoyed it. More than I have in a while. Okay. I'll just ask it. Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark, shared this photo from behind the scenes of Game of Thrones, The Night King in a Window. What do you think?
Windows are coming.
Windows are coming. I like that he has his phone. It's like really kind of creepy. It's like a shot out of a half-remembered nightmare from a day nap. And then he has like an iPhone in his one hand.
I would just love to see her jump through the window and hit him with the knife and he explodes. Oh, all done.
Trying to get away. Love it. Okay. I'll go on it. Oh, wait. No. You asked me. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I think I'm getting the rhythm of this. All right. So Steven Spielberg, you know him. Uh-huh. He was at the Oscars.
Yeah.
He was hanging out doing some funny stuff. He is involved in a Ready Player One sequel called Ready Player Two, but not as director. What's your take on that?
I guess it's a little surprising because that was a big hit, as I recall, Ready Player One, this sort of like alternate universe, kind of World of Warcraft, but way advanced and in for real in the future, sci-fi thing. I watched it. It was nice. I know this has been a sequel out for a while. It was inevitable, right? It had to happen. And maybe Spielberg has better things to do than direct it, but I support him. I love West Side Story. God, don't know if you're a Trekkie, but we'll find out. There was word lately that the second season of Star Trek Picard season 2, executives at Paramount kind of shot down a bunch of ideas for it because, in the words of the producer, they deemed it too confusing and too Star Trek. Is this nefarious?
I don't think it's nefarious, and I will point out my Star Trek hat that I'm wearing right now, but it is wild to say that anything's too Star Trek-y because they should watch the rest of the Star Trek franchise. That said, season 2 was a little discombobulated throughout, so maybe that points to that, and they certainly got it back on track in season 3. Did I do it?
Totally. You're going way under it.
Okay, I got to talk longer. I got to talk through the buzzer then. That's what I'm getting.
It's fun in this thing to kind of set personal goals for yourself and then see if you can meet or exceed them. I like to try and like get to like exactly it. I skip one, by the way, if you want to ask that. Ask whatever you want.
Oh, sure. All right. Yeah, I'll throw that out at you. So all 8 episodes of the Fallout TV show are going to drop on April 12th on Amazon, based on the video game, of course, but with a whole new cast and I believe a side story that doesn't quite reproduce the video games. What do you think?
We talked about earlier about the kind of perils of dropping everything all at once versus week to week. Amazon has the option to do week to week. And I'll be honest, the fact that they're doing all of this at once of this pretty high profile show has me kind of worried. What if it sucks? That mean it sucks. It does come from the people who did Westworld, and that started to kind of suck toward the end, if you ask me, my opinion. So basically, I'm worried that it portends doom, but we'll see. Maybe it doesn't. Okay. A pretty big one. We found this out yesterday. The Batman Part 2, starring Robert Pattinson as Batman, has been delayed by a year from October 2025 to October 2026. Are you crestfallen?
It has been such a long wait already between the Batman Part 1 and Batman Part 2. I'm happy for Matt Reeves to take all the time he wants to get the movie right. At the same time, my two alarm bells are, one, they have another Batman who's coming up in Brave and the Bold. I hope they're not going to throw both at the same year. And then the other thing is Robert Pattinson is the younger Batman who's going to be 40. So.
Good point.
Oh, and yes, I'm supposed to kick it back to you. This is a sadder one, but Dragon Ball creator Akira Toriyama passed away at age 68. This was really sadly announced by the company behind Dragon Ball, I believe. What's your thought on that? Are you a Dragon Ball fan?
I mean, I like a lot of kids of a certain age, I watched the Dragon Ball Z when I was like coming home from middle school when it was on the Cartoon Network. But I'm not a giant fan, but I respect Akira Toriyama. This is a living legend when he was around. Dragon Ball, the influence of it can't be overstated, really. It's humongous. I love Chrono Trigger. I love a lot of things he did. So, yeah, I pay my respects to him. It is a genuine loss for the creative entertainment space. So RIP.
Yeah. It's good you did that one before the buzzer. It would have been weird if it was like at the end there.
I suspect that Richard wasn't going to hit the buzzer. Okay. I'm thinking right. Maybe he isn't going to put a buzzer on in memoriam segment for, yes. I shouldn't have put it in the lightning round. It's only my fault. I'm a distasteful monster. Alex, thanks for coming out. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for letting me spout out about The Walking Dead and other things. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a blast. And if you want to hear us in podcast form, remember, you can download us wherever podcasts are available, be it iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or elsewhere. Also, watch us here on our live show every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 on the East Coast, 1 in the mountains, and noon in California. Leave us a comment. Give us a like. Robert Harris liked you a lot, by the way. He thinks you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you, Robert Harris.
You should come back sometime. This is a good time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
This podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.